welcome to the From No Crypto to No Crypto podcast. I am your guest host today, Ancela, affectionately known as Crypto Auntie. I'm so honored to be here. I have the privilege of interviewing Blockchain Wayne Marcel of Fio Protocol. Thank you so much, Wayne, for the invitation.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to do this. I'm always on the other side doing the interview, so it's great to to bring a guest host on. You're amazing in this space, and so I'm excited about today's talk.
Well, I'm excited to hear more about you, Fio. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you even get into the crypto space before you started all these amazing things you're doing?
Oh, it was a journey for sure. So I think back to 2016, I was looking at a bad stock investment that had went down quite a bit. I think originally it was worth around 30K. It was worth 3K. I had $3,000 left in it. And I told a buddy, I was like, look, it's the last 3K. If I lose it now, right, what's the big deal? But, I want to put in something that was had the potential to get my money back. And roundabout way, I forgot exactly how he said it, but it was basically quit ignoring Bitcoin. I've always been a tech enthusiast, but I've always dismissed Bitcoin like many people do in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so I looked into it. I was like, you know what? What the heck? I'm gonna do it. So took that 3K, put it in the Bitcoin in 2016. But I'm also the type of person that I can't just blindly invest in something without knowing more about it. I had enough knowledge to know that it had been around for a while because I remember seeing the early articles in 2010, 2011 about it. So I knew it was still around. And I knew the value had gone up substantially from what it started at. But I needed to know more. And I realized that in school, we're not even taught about money and how the money works. We learn how to earn money, right? But we don't really learn how the financial systems operate. How does the Federal Reserve operate? How does the fractional reserve banking work and all these different intricacies and why do prices keep going up? And so I went down that rabbit hole first before even understanding any more about Bitcoin. And oh my God, I was shocked. I was dismayed. I was like, holy cow. We're constantly just compounding a situation and just kicking the can down the road. Nothing's being solved. We're just continuing to pour more and more debt on our future generations with the way our financial systems operate. And I knew it wasn't sustainable. So then I started learning about Bitcoin being hard money, being like, it has a finite supply. Nobody can arbitrarily say, okay, we're running low on money or we need an infusion, let's print some more money. It's a set release schedule and it can't be altered. But if you do need to alter it, then the value can go up in terms of Bitcoin is divisible to such a small amount that even if one Bitcoin were $1 million or $10 million, we can still transact in small amounts with Bitcoin because of the way it's divisible. And so that was when I realized two things. This is amazing. It's going to change the world. And we're starting to see at that time a lot of altcoins coming on the scene, different cryptocurrencies that were trying to do things that Bitcoin can't do. Because Bitcoin is great for money, but it can't do everything.
Right.
And so I realized that we needed education in this because most people, it's hard. And we needed companies and projects to build things that were easier for people. So when I saw this, I was like, you know what? I want to be involved in this. I want to play my part. And I've always loved the mantra that when one person teaches, two people learn, which means if I teach you something, I'm learning it more myself.
Right.
One, I've got accountability to myself to make sure I understand it enough to teach you. And then as I teach it, I get better at explaining it. So 2017, I started putting together things, started creating content. In 2018, I put out a book on Amazon, A Beginner's Guide to Get Started in Crypto. And then I started podcast. The podcast was actually trying to promote the book, but I got tired of updating the book because things changed so rapidly I've been podcasting since 2018, just focusing on talking about this in a way that people can understand, pointed to different companies and products and projects that are out there that people can understand and learn more, and really highlighting on that. So it evolved to me then making content for different companies and projects that needed educational content. So kind of a freelance type thing while I was still working a corporate career. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I put on a couple of events in Miami, made a lot of great connections, and started to then really focus on working full time in this space. And a little over 2 years ago, decided to hang up that 24-year corporate career and jump into this.
Very nice, very nice. It's so funny you say that about when one person teaches, two people learn. What I started to do earlier when I first started teaching people, if there was something I really wanted to give my attention to that I wanted to learn, I would put out that I'm doing a webinar about it. That would make me learn it before the webinar day. So that is so
Self-accountability,
true.
right?
Right,
Absolutely.
So yeah,
And
this is, oh, please go ahead.
oh no, I was just gonna say, that really is like you put the pressure on yourself to like, okay, I my reputation's on the line. Some people are gonna ask the hard questions. I need to understand it.
Exactly. And there's so many people who need to get this, to get the fundamental knowledge. You know, because of what's happening right now, a lot of people are diving in and jumping in with both feet, but not really understanding what they need to do to prepare. You know, that is just so key. And long term, it can be so detrimental to their information, their assets, what have you. So, like you know, we already talk about how we have so much in common. We're just about helping people get started the right way.
Absolutely. And I tell everybody before you even try to understand what Bitcoin is and how it operates, the reason it's so hard to grasp is people think two things: money is only physical, but yet we got, Apple Pay, Google Pay, all these different centralized systems now that people are used to using. And they don't really understand how money works. So, before we jump into the next topic, this is something that I feel very passionate about, is everybody should look up, either read, watch the video, or listen to the audiobook of The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island is a historically accurate book, goes back to 1913 on Jekyll Island, talking about when the banking powers got together to create the Federal Reserve. What it was designed for, how it was designed for. It was not designed to f further the country and flourish. It was designed over a long period of time to transfer wealth to a certain elite group of people. And you can understand people today, when prices are going up and we're seeing inflation happen and it's rampant and you can't go to the grocery store for, what used to cost $50 is now $250. It's by design. The system's not broken, it's working by their design. But you have to go through that book to really understand it. I found the audiobook is available on YouTube if you want to listen for free. That's what I did. I went to the YouTube, found the audiobook. It was 8 hours long. You listen to it at like 1.4 speed, and I got through it in like 5 hours, which is a good pace because the reader's kind of slow, the author that's reading it. And you can really understand why this is important, because then you may not understand Bitcoin, but then you are open to the idea that things aren't as good as I think they are. We've been seeing the red flags around, that, hey, there's problems. And so it's good to understand where those problems come from.
That is so true. Very true. Great suggestion, by the way. So now I follow you and Fio on the social platforms. And every day it looks like you guys are saying that you're on a new platform, connected with a new network. It's so exciting. So what's the latest? Fill us in on what you guys been up to.
So a lot of great things, and that's it, it's we realize that, the last 2 years everybody has been looking at, oh, we've been in this bear market, the market's been going down. A lot of companies that we were that I've talked to, they're gone now, right? Just because that happens in these market cycles. But we kept building relationships, building out our protocol, continuing to push it forward. And because we realize that no matter what digital asset, no matter what cryptocurrency gets adopted in the future for use, Fio makes it easier to use for everyone. So it doesn't matter if you're a Bitcoin maxi, if you like Ethereum only, or if you realize, like I do, I love Bitcoin. It's a core, it fixes money. Ethereum is different in terms of smart contracts. It allows you to do a lot of different things in finance, and also in marketing. But then there's a lot of other protocols that do different things. So there's not going to be, it's not a zero-sum game. It's not Bitcoin or nothing. It's a dollar or Bitcoin. It's zero-sum game means there's only one winner. It's not a zero-sum game. There's going to be a lot, right? I tell people all the time that Chuck E. Cheese launched the token tomorrow. It may not have value outside of their restaurants, but they're a national chain in the U.S., and that token could have value, right? So you have to start looking at it from that standpoint, that it's not just a national currency. We can choose to transact in whatever currency we want. So with Fio, we make that easier for everyone to use, because a core problem is the technology is great, but it can be complicated. And I give the comparison of when we go to a website, right? When we go to a website, we type in the website address, www.bitcoin.com. whatever, right? CryptoAuntie.com. Mm-hmm. That actually takes you to an IP address that's hidden in the background. Now, many years ago, in the early days of the internet, you weren't able to type in that website address. You had to remember that IP address number, which mm-hmm. can be kind of hard, right? I mean, we don't even remember phone numbers today, so it can be kind of hard. And so a protocol was built on top of that allowed you to be able to type in a website address that takes you to that IP address. You don't care what that IP address is as long as you get to the right place.
Right.
Well, in cryptography, with cryptocurrency, your public addresses are this long string of letters and numbers, long string. And it's hard to remember. It's usually 20, 30 characters. Mm-hmm. You have to copy and paste, which is inherently prone to errors. You copy and paste the wrong thing. Most of us, if we're using our phone, right, we copy and paste with our thumb. We accidentally add a character, delete a character. You can send to the wrong address. But why do you even need to see those long addresses? And for every blockchain, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, every other one, it's a different public address. So why not link all of those to a single handle that you can send? So that's what we set out to do. And the reason I'm giving an explanation on what FIO is for people, a lot of you may already know if you follow me, but if you don't, that's what we do. We allow you to replace that with a handle. So if you type in the wrong address, it won't let you send it. If I type in the right address, but I'm trying to send you Solana and I don't have a Solana address, or you don't have a Solana address link, then it won't let me send it. And so it stops those errors and makes it super easy as sending an email. And so I set out to say, we realized that we couldn't just come out and say, hey, we're going to release a mobile wallet called the FIO wallet. And everybody should download it and use it because ours is better. No, our protocol is best in as many places as possible. So that's what we focus on. And we also structured our project in the terms of our mainnet. Like, our blockchain went live 4 years ago. And at that time, FIO became its foundation for interoperability, inter-wallet operability, right? Mm-hmm. So what that means is every wallet you can use, but we're a foundation, we're a nonprofit. We recoup a small percent of the on-chain fees to fund our ongoing efforts to foster adoption. But our integration partners and those securing the network, they earn the majority of the on-chain revenue. So there's an incentive for wallets and exchanges and marketplaces and everywhere else you can use wallet handles, especially as Web3 becomes more and more prevalent, that if they use our protocol, they're going to earn money. One, they don't have to develop their own solution. Everything we have is open source. They can go and integrate even without our assistance. Now, we do offer assistance to those that want to, but once it's live, they're earning the revenue for that, and we've got some partners earning substantial revenue. So that's been able to help us kind of accelerate the process. In the early days, before FIO wasn't anywhere, we were paying grants out to certain organizations through a treasury fund. Now, obviously, when it worked out fairly well in terms of those grant funds winded down right around the time we had enough traction to show, hey, look at what these partners are earning, you know, in terms of using our protocol. They're making their protocol easy, their project easier to use, and doing it. So we've been constantly partnering to where no matter where you want to interact with the FIO protocol, you have options. And at the same time, we've been building our own tools to say, okay, if you're using a wallet that hasn't integrated our protocol yet, here's a tool that we have. So we released FIO, we call it FIO ID. The website is FIO.ID. You can look up any website. So if I tell you to pay me and my handle is blockchain at Wayne, which it is, I use this one for a public demo a lot, and you go to FIO.ID and type in blockchain at Wayne, it's going to show you all the different wallet addresses I've linked to that. And say we're doing business and you're going to pay me in Bitcoin, you can click on the Bitcoin tab and it'll give you the QR code and the address to copy and paste if you want to send me funds. If you're using a wallet that hasn't integrated our FIO lookup yet to where it can automatically pull in that wallet address.
Right.
So we've got that available. We did, just so there's not a lot of confusion, we did launch our own product called the FIO Wallet, which is for gaming. But it's not something that we tell people to go and download. I say it's for gaming, but it's really for anyone that wants to integrate a simple-to-use wallet into their platform. So games obviously are a big draw, but it could be anything. It could be a social platform. It could be anything to where, to the user, they basically look like they're creating a typical what we call Web2 experience. Mm-hmm. Email address, password, PIN number, right? A couple of different things to secure their account. But in the background, they're getting a wallet that they control the funds. No one else controls the funds for them. And they're getting a FIO handle that allows them to be able to send and receive assets to people within those wallets as simple as sending an email. So they don't even have to learn about the copy paste. So a lot of game developers are looking for that easy onboarding process. And so we partnered with a company called MetaKeep to develop the wallet itself. Mm-hmm. And we realized that partnering with the FIO protocol makes it super easy. So right now we're partnering with a lot of games, but any platform that needs a simple to use wallet, just easily integrated. And it's a software developer wallet in terms of everything is code, and the game developer or the company puts their own user interface on it. So it looks like it's just part of their login panel. Okay. But really, it's a full-blown non-custodial wallet, which means they control their private keys, they control their assets. It's not like some company can shut down. If that game or whatever you're playing on goes out of business, you still have access to the assets in that wallet, and you can restore that somewhere else. And so that's a couple of things that we've launched recently. We also, just a big announcement we just made was MetaMask. So MetaMask is the largest user base in the space right now. 30 million wallet downloads and growing. But MetaMask is also focusing on their user experience because they realize it's complicated. Like, wallet addresses are not the only hard thing in a wallet. Having to, when you're setting up a wallet, having to write down a seed phrase somewhere that you have to keep secure, which is like a 12 to 24 word list that you have to write down somewhere, because if you lose access to that wallet, you have to restore it. And so, you know, they're working on that aspect, but they also opened up their wallet to where developers can come in and build. They put out a protocol called Snaps, and Snaps are basically MetaMask apps that you can build within the wallet to allow users to use any assets. MetaMask has typically only supported Ethereum and other blockchains that are called EVM, Ethereum Virtual Machine. So they're basically structured similar to an Ethereum chain. And that's a limited number, but there's a lot of other chains out there. So now you can have a Solana Snap. The FIO Snap allows you to manage the FIO app within the MetaMask wallet. And there's more integrations coming with MetaMask because our team has been working with theirs, and we know that soon they're going to be rolling out full domain name resolution. So if you're going to send from a MetaMask wallet and you type in a FIO handle, you could have it resolve and pull in that right address, which is, you know, what's necessary. So you don't have to take that extra step of going look up the ID. So MetaMask has been one that we've been working on for a while, and now it's like the industry is really starting to align around, you know, usability, user interface, making it simple, which is why I mentioned they also have Snaps. And there's other wallets out there too that don't have a seed phrase issue or seed phrase vulnerability, in terms of you can restore that wallet using a different method than having to write down those 12 phrases. Because inadvertently, someone's going to copy and paste it on their phone, save it in a notepad, save it in an email. And then when that system gets hacked, then people see, you know, hackers see 12 words or 24 words, they know that's a wallet they can steal. So there's a lot of things happening in the space. I've always said there's two things that's going to drive adoption, is education and better user interfaces that make it easier for the user. They're not going to use it if it's hard. I'd venture to say I don't feel, and a lot of people echo this, I don't feel the iPhone is the most technologically advanced phone out there. It's not. There's other things, which is why a lot of times iPhone will add features like several years later after Samsung. But why do so many people use an iPhone? It's a simple user experience.
Very true.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And people are going to start using this. Like I know, when I think back to when my grandmother was alive, she would have never used email back in the day because it was so complicated. Right? It was complex to use. You had to know some different things. It was clunky. It wasn't easy to use. Now, today, elderly grandmothers and grandfathers can send an email as simple as swiping their finger on an iPhone or iPad. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to get with this space. We've got to make it to where it's all about the user experience and not so much about blockchain. You and I care that it's on blockchain because blockchain means it can be decentralized. It can't be controlled by a central entity. Mm-hmm. And there's certain perks and benefits to that. Some people don't care. They just want it to work. And so let's give them the features that they don't care about, but we all know they need. And wrap it up into a simple user interface. So so that's what we've been doing. Those are some of our partnerships. There's actually a lot more in the works that we're looking at. And then also we're attending a lot of events, because at these events, we're looking for other projects to partner with. And so some of these partnerships are from past travels. And, you know, just got back from East Denver last week. I've got a ton of different companies that we met with that had the potential to work with. But last year it was nonstop, and it was actually a lot of out of the country travel, just because there's so much happening in this world, that you know we definitely we need to see more happening in the U.S. I live in the U.S. We all want to see things happen here, and hopefully that climate is going to be changing, because there's so many areas in the world that are becoming more and more advanced and embracing this technology, and the people that live in those areas are really going to start to benefit from that, because let's face it, right? Technology eliminates jobs, and and so you want to look at where's that new job creation coming from, and I think it's coming from the tech industry, and I think those two main spaces right now are AI and blockchain, and some intersection of the two.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go back for a moment to the Feel wallet. So before I was exclusively into crypto and crypto education and Web3 education, I was a natural hairstylist. So everything that I learn, I'm always thinking, how can this benefit the small business owner? So with the Feel wallet, you mentioned gamers. So let's say I have a hair salon and I want to educate even my clients about how they can use cryptocurrency. So I'm gonna show them they can pay me in crypto. So what does that look like as a business owner to incorporate that in my daily operations?
Unless you have like a user platform where a user logs in, the Fio wallet wouldn't quite be ideal for them. Mainly because there is a cost to that infrastructure, and it's a small cost, but it's paid by monthly active user. So it can be as little as a couple hundred dollars a month or more, which is why games is a big target. But for you, in that, it's just finding that wallet experience that's simple and easy to use for them, onboarding them. And then allowing them to, experience this technology in different ways, right? If you teach them how to use cryptocurrency, you can use Edge Wallet or any of our other ecosystem partners. You can get started with that without having to integrate anything into a website and build out. But from there, and where this space is going. So if you were still in that space, you would say, hey, if you pay me in any of these cryptocurrencies, you'll get a discount. Let's motivate people now, right? That's the learning curve, right? They're paying you. I do that sometimes when I sell hats. I'm like, okay, this hat's $25, but I sell it to you for 20 or 15 if you pay me in Bitcoin, right? Because I know that I just wait a little while, and hey, it's going to be worth that, right? So, so you can do that, and that's one way to get them familiar with the payment systems. And obviously, a wallet that has Fio protocol can be super easy. Because instead of saying, hey, see that long address right there? Copy and paste that and send it to me. But don't mess up, right? No, you don't have to say that. Just type in the handle, send it to me, and you can walk them through those steps. There's still steps to walk through, but it's a lot easier to onboard people with those wallets. And I prefer a wallet that they don't have to stop and write down a seed phrase. If I'm sitting at my desk, I can go to my safe and get my notepad where I write down my seed phrases. But if I'm in your salon and you're teaching me, what am I going to do? I'm going to save it on my phone, screenshot it, and that's really not secure. And so there's other wallets, Edge and others, that you can set up, and it uses a different way to store your private key. So instead of using those seed phrase words, it actually uses a combination of your username, email address, password, PIN number, and it's almost like multi-party computation in terms of, okay, to restore this wallet, you need to have at least two of the three or three of the four. That's what a lot of wallets do, to help you restore that. And then from there, as a business owner, I would challenge you to look at also outside of Web3. Think not just money, but digital assets can be anything. And not everything has to be sold for money. I'm giving a talk next month at NFT NYC, and the talk is going to be about why every company, and I'm not talking about cryptocurrency companies, I'm not talking about Web3 companies. Every single company needs a Web3 strategy, and that should include NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Non-fungible tokens allow you to create unique collectibles. You can build a loyalty program. You can digitize that punch card and make it fun. But then you can also, whenever, like if you're working at a salon, right, and you give someone a punch card, unless they're in your email system, you have no way to market to them anymore. You just got to hope they're going to come back because they got a punch card and they want to punch again. But imagine that was a digital collectible, and once they have all 10 digital collectibles, they get something for free, right? Now they're holding that in a digital wallet. They're learning about digital wallets. But then also, you can create a promotional offer, and you can look on chain and see all the wallet addresses that hold your NFT loyalty programs, and you can send them a promo, promo NFT. So not every NFT has to be sold for thousands of dollars. And let's face it, not every NFT even has to be sold at all. It can be an engagement tool. And that's one example I like to teach. There's so many other concepts that I'm going to be talking about at that talk, but everybody needs to look at that. 25 years ago, crazy to think that every business needed a website. We had perfectly good yellow pages. Why do you need a website? Why would a plumber need a website? They can't fix pipes online, right? Now, look at, it sounds crazy, but look at where we are today. 10 years ago, that same concept applied to social media. Not every business needed a social media account. Again, why would a plumber need a social media account? Now some of the best plumbers out there have social media accounts, and they put out funny content that people watch, right? And it's all about awareness. And so now Web3 is that next iteration of, you need to have a strategy for this. Your competition will if you don't. So be early to the game and learn about it, because it can be something that's fun. You can learn right now. A lot of large companies are testing out these strategies. Starbucks had a very successful test with their Odyssey program. And most people heard about Starbucks Odyssey giving away digital stamps, and they didn't even realize that that's NFTs.
Right.
Yeah.
Very
true. And yeah. So, I would challenge business owners. You know, that's a great question. I love, that's been my passion of mine too lately, is educating businesses of how they can leverage this technology. Obviously, accepting cryptocurrency for payments is an easy one. And even if you get set up to accept cryptocurrency for payments and one person pays you in 6 months, it doesn't matter. As more and more people start looking into where can I spend these digital assets that I've been accumulating,
right,
you're going to be ahead of the curve. You're going to be one of the ones that's listed on sites and different places and say, oh, this place accepts it, you can go here. And then when you realize that, hey, they sent me this cryptocurrency that's pegged to the dollar, and it costs, in essence, about 3 to 4 cents to move it and spend it, versus, all right, they paid me $100 and Visa or MasterCard took 3.5-4%.
Right.
True. So, you're going to realize that, oh, wow. And then you're going to start, that's when you're really going to start saying, okay, let me give discounts to people that pay in cryptocurrency, because that, you know, saving me costs, you know, saving me some overhead.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it is, you and I have had this conversation in the past about, we really feel like businesses can help push the adoption, because if, you know, someone has to make the first move, so we can get more businesses to say, hey, I'll take crypto, whatever crypto they choose to accept, then people will be more likely to say, okay, well, let me find out about this and get involved. And again, the onboarding, making it easier. I really feel like a lot of in the tech space, in the Web3 space, you know, we're here and we expect the average user to be here, where in reality, they're here. We need to come down here and make it easier for them, because the average person is really not going to put in all the work that they need to put in to be able to use this. But on the upside, if we are early and we put in that extra work, it can be very profitable long term. So it has its advantages.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a lot to be said too, that understanding this can also help you prevent you from falling victim to scams too, because scammers prey on people's ignorance. There's still scammers today that are calling up old people and telling them, hey, you need to go pay for this IRS fee with the Apple iTunes gift card, right? And they're falling for it. There was stock market scams, so obviously crypto scams are coming out there where people are trying to scam people. And what I've learned, like, there's so many red flags that if you understand how this technology actually works, then you won't fall victim to that when they say, hey, you can send me your money and I'll trade it for you, make you $50,000 in a week. You'll know, well, that's not logical. That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Not fall for that. So yeah, it's important for everyone to truly understand this, because I really feel it's going to revolutionize a lot of things in the future. It's going to even solve, people complain about centralized social media platforms and centralized search functions like Google, and there's going to be alternatives that are going to, you know, people are going to realize, you know, I'm not just in this system where I have no control. I can control my data, I control my ownership. And also, you can respect your privacy by being able to say, I don't need to log in with the email address and password into an account. I can just connect my wallet. And there's already some social media platforms you can do that as well. So just thinking about from a social standpoint, and then having a token that has a little bit of value that you can tip people, or you make a video and people like you, they can tip you. So there's, and that's just an example. I mean, we can, I know we're coming up on time, but I could talk for hours about how this technology can change things. And and what we do at FIO is just, hey, let's make it easier for people. And we focus on that one aspect that's most important. Hey, sending and receiving assets, use a handle, but also, hey, that handle can represent your online, your digital identity. It's in the format of Useret domain, so you can get Ancilla at Wallet, or you can get Ancilla at Crypto Auntie or at Crypto Vibes. Mm-hmm. And you can personalize a little more. Each one of my kids has a handle that they may not realize it yet, but I've been saving crypto for them for a little while. And every time, and it's not the same thing every week. Obviously, it's mostly Bitcoin, but there's a little bit of other things. And when I want to send it to their individual wallets, I don't have to look up what their wallet address is. I just type in their name, which I made, into a handle.
Yeah. And that's so key. Ease. We need to make stuff easy, especially for those of us who already have a lot going on. We can't add anything else. Oh, yeah. So what's next? What's next for FIO? What can we expect from you guys? Yeah.
Well, you're going to see, as I mentioned, more announcements coming. The release we just did in MetaMask is the first phase. There's going to be other things when MetaMask enables their domain name resolution system, Web3 domains. You'll be able to utilize FIO within there. And then they also have enabling users or developers to build within the wallet. So it's, most snaps have been like an external link out program that ties to the wallet. And we'll actually be able to build a user interface within the wallet too. So that's coming. We've got quite a few partners that we're working on to get FIO, the protocol, in more places where people can register and use handles. Mm-hmm. We've also got some additional on-ramp partners, places where people want to buy the FIO token. Our FIO token is used for many things, to buy handles and domains. It's utilized to, people can stake and earn money that securing the chain, the governance. And when they're staking, they're also there, you can participate in governance where we operate in a DAO feature. So our board is actually elected through on-chain governance, on-chain voting every 6 months. In fact, in the next few months, we have another vote coming up to where if you want to participate in it, you can do that. And just continue. We're continuing to seek partners where FIO can be utilized. You also see us mention some partners that are not that necessarily don't use the FIO protocol, but we're partnering with them from a collaboration standpoint because they also focus on ease of use. One of them I think of we did towards the end of last year was a company called Zcret. Mm-hmm. It's like secret but with an X. And they actually created a program to where if you are using a wallet that has seed phrases, you can store those seed phrases in a batch of QR codes. That way if someone comes across one QR code, they can't restore the wallet. But if you have, say you have five QR codes saved in mm-hmm. different places, you need three of the five to be able to restore the wallet. So you can put them in different places, share them with people. And that's just one example, right? And so there's other companies, other projects that are making this space easier to use, and we want to partner with them. I've met a lot of great projects just at ETH Denver. In fact, some that are building interfaces to better do what I've talked about. Like if you're a business and you want to integrate Web3, where do you start? And I've got two different companies that I'm talking to right now that have built amazing platforms to where you may know nothing about cryptocurrency, but you can come in, you can build a loyalty program around NFTs, you can mm-hmm. launch the NFTs and even launch your own marketplace for those NFTs. And it's modular, like you don't have to understand coding, just in a few pushes of a button. And those are just examples of what we're looking to work with. So it's not just say, hey, like reach out to us at FIO if you think you can use our protocol. If you got something on another in another lane that's also making it easier for people, let's talk, let's collaborate, let's co-market, because that's it. And we got quite a few events. I mentioned NFT NYC coming up in April. We're also going to be at Token 2049 in Dubai in April. Mm. But quite a few events. If I look down the road, I think I've got 7 or 8 more trips planned after that. Wow. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head now, but after that, it was Consensus. Mainnet, Token 2049 in the fall in Dubai, quite a bit.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I would love to get more information about the project you just mentioned with being able to integrate Web3, even if you don't, if you're new to the space. So yeah, share that with me because I want to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fabulous. It's always interesting to talk to you. I love following you guys. Your content's hilarious and also informative. And every time I see a new announcement that you guys are partnering with someone new, it's just like, yay, Theo. So keep up the great work, because it really does. Even when I do my classes and so forth, and I always incorporate Theo to show people how easy it can be to send wallet to wallet. So it's just a great option to use if you're new to the space.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, definitely. And we're looking for more people to find out. I'd say, everybody, if you're not already following us, you can go to Theo.net. We simplified our website recently. Like, we were able to acquire the Theo.net. If you type in the old one, Theoprotocol.io, it still takes you to Theo.net.
Okay.
But Theo.net, and you can follow us on socials, as you mentioned. I believe in educational content. I also think some stuff should be funny. So, because it's all about attention. Everything online is about getting people's attention. Like, why does McDonald's still advertise? Everybody knows McDonald's has burgers and stuff that kids love, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why do they still advertise? It's all about awareness, right? And so that's what we do. So follow us, look at what we have coming. From our website too, you can also go in and test it out, register your free handle, or you can hit our ecosystem page and check out all the different partners where you can use the Theo protocol now. And you may say, oh, I already have an Edge wallet, I already have a Trust wallet, or I already have this. And you can set it up to where you can utilize that.
Okay, good stuff. Well, thank you again for allowing me to be a guest host today. And I look forward to talking to you. I'm going to definitely follow about that, because I want some information about that, okay? Thanks so much, Wayne. Keep up the great work.
All right, thanks a lot, Angela. Take care, everybody.